Hello and welcome to episode 40 of the Xbox Manticast. I'm your host, David Jason, Gametag BLR. Joining this week, as ever, is the man with a face, Matthew Gamage.
I have a face.
Hi, I have a face. I have a Gametag, which is Gamage89.
And
that's not the location of my face, though.
And resident Star Trek nerd, Daniel Smith.
Oh, hey. God, this podcast is getting old. Needs to have a midlife crisis soon. You could find me at Lord Atten as Gamer Time.
That's when it's actually on Xbox Live. God.
Hey, Star Trek, you nerd.
I was on. I came on yesterday because I saw on Xbox.com or Battlelog or something on there that that Gamage had been playing because he'd unlocked things, and I was like, I'm going to go on then.
We're all playing tonight if you want to come and play with us and on Battlefield.
Yeah, we have a boyfriend date at like 7.
Literally a gangbang.
Maybe. Yeah.
I'll probably be on quite a lot tonight. Me and Scott have been doing co-op stuff, and if you two are on, maybe you two could do co-op stuff together as well. We're looking to get the co-op achievements. Then we can all convene and play multiplayer.
I'd be down for that, Daniel.
I would also.
And then if we get pissed off with each other, we can swap. Like I'll have Dan, and you can have Scott.
Yeah.
Like a real sharing of bodies.
Yeah. This ties in nicely to what we've been playing this week. So let's talk about what we've been playing.
I'm sure it's going to be drastically different to last week.
I will go first. I'll get the obvious out of the way and say I'm playing a lot of Battlefield.
Your penis.
Playing my penis. Apart from that, Gotham City Impostors, which is super, super fun. Like, it's an interesting mix of like Call of Duty and Team Fortress. And a bit of Brink kind of mechanics thrown in. We'll talk about that in a bit when Dan mentions that he's been playing it. I'm playing Terraria on PC with the GGF crew, and as ever, weird indie games. Last week I reviewed Techno Kitten Adventure, which is trippy and it gave me a headache.
I downloaded it.
The game needs an epilepsy warning. But
it's funny.
Yeah, reviews up on Indie Game Mag, again, thinking it was 60 out of 100. And I've just started playing an indie game we talked about last week, which is Lara, L-A-R-A. Which is actually kind of weird. It's a first-person shooter, and you're just constantly fighting robots. It has a story, and the graphics aren't terrible. It's a bit basic, but it's not that bad. That's all I've been playing this week. Yeah. Let's go with me first, Matt, and then we'll go to Dan.
All right. I've played Mass Effect 2 and I finished it this morning, which was a bit frustrating because I was doing my playthrough. I was expecting this playthrough to be like it when I was done. Like, I was like, that'll be all the achievements done. The only reason I play it through again is if I wanted to do something differently, because I was like, this is the perfect way. I've done it exactly how I wanted to. Everyone that I wanted, I got, let's say for anyone that hasn't played it, I got the right ending that I wanted. and I thought I was playing on insane to get all the achievements. And got to the end. Apparently, I wasn't. I was like, I'm pretty sure I selected insane. So now I have to play through one more time on insane. Which is really frustrating, considering that playthrough was 60 hours.
Jesus.
Yeah. That was like, I did everything. I'm just playing Arrival now, like the last bit. And then Battlefield. And I'll probably go back to Mass Effect 1 this week. So I'm all very Mass Effect-y in the lead up to Mass Effect 3.
Yeah.
That's it. Pretty dull. I'm going to be the same for the next like month. Unless I produce about 40 quid and buy Catherine. But other than that...
Oh, I want Catherine.
I really want Catherine, but I think I'm just going to wait.
I need to make sure I don't forget about it.
I'm not going to forget it. I'm sure I'll see it. Because it's not going to have like an online pass or something. So
nah.
I might get it pre-owned or something at some point. I do kind of really want that game. And I kind of want to buy it new to give the money to the developer. But
yeah, I think they need it.
Yeah, so if I can get some money together at some point, then I'll get me a copy of that.
Okay. Mr. Daniel, what have you been playing?
Cool is. A bit of Battlefield.
Yeah.
Had mentioned last episode that I bought Battlefield. I can't remember.
Yeah.
We played before.
Yeah. I can't remember. Yeah. I'm still enjoying it. I'm still enjoying Deathmatch as well, actually. When I'm playing by myself. Ironically, I got a Deathmatch on Metro.
Dan, I play Deathmatch with you. I don't mind playing Deathmatch. It's just Dave and Scott that prefer. I do like Conquest. Conquest's fun. But I need to... Right, have I told you my story about the ribbon for Squad Deathmatch?
Yeah.
No.
Fucking hell. Right, there's an achievement for getting all the ribbons.
Yeah.
And I just thought, well, I've got every other, you know, and you get a ribbon for winning different game types. We were on 49 to like 25 squad deathmatch, just about to win. One more kill. The first time I'd ever got to that point, and my Xbox disconnected from Xbox Live. I was like, oh. So since around that time and that time the other week when I just would constantly disconnect from the internet, I've been wired in. But yeah, so I'll play that with you at some point. Maybe we could play as a squad because we tend to do quite well when we play as a squad. Was it you that playing with? Yes, it was me, you, and Scott yesterday, wasn't it, Dave?
Yeah,
we were just getting a squad all the time.
We had that like hour-long game the other day. Game.
Yeah. Oh, that was great. Oh no, then maybe it was me, Scott, and Katie yesterday. It was me, Scott, and Katie yesterday. Yesterday night, and we kept on getting a squad.
Yesterday I was busy doing work things.
We were just awesome.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, I ironically got Deathmatch on Metro the other day, or earlier, I can't remember, and it was terrible on that map.
Yeah, because Operation Metro is just generally terrible.
I enjoy like the other game types on Metro. But
it's a different map. Like, doesn't it make you play in the park?
Well,
I can see why you like that map, Dan, but from a Battlefield point of view, that's not a good Battlefield map. Like, that's proof of Battlefield trying to be more mainstream, more Call of Duty, and not sticking to what it does well. Look, compared to all of the other maps like Karg Island, Caspian Border, the Back to Kargan maps, that is so small, so narrow, and just not a good Battlefield map.
Yeah.
I have severe issues. Rush is the worst I've played.
Horrible.
Yeah, Rush on Operation Metro is almost impossible for the attacking team to win. Like, to the point where you can tell it's broken because the spawn tokens on Operation Metro are so much higher than all the others because they know that you're going to get ground at certain points. Like, you're just going to have to sit and try and burn through one particular section of the map.
I like standing at the bottom of the escalators and waiting for dead bodies to come down and then revive them. Oh, you've been killed. I'll revive you. You go back up there. You die again, I'll revive you again. Don't worry. I'm here.
I did enjoy Rush on Metro, actually. I need to get back to playing Rush rather than just Conquest.
We've been playing a lot of Conquest. Rush is my favourite game mode because it flows differently.
Though I like all the vehicles on Conquest that you tend to get more.
So, yeah, you know, with like vehicle and stuff like that. Like when we play Conquest, I'm happier to go and jump in a tank or to go and jump in an aeroplane or something like that. Whereas when we play Rush, I'm like, well, we have a time limit to go we have to go and get those points.
Yeah.
And when everyone fucks off and goes off into vehicles, you never win. Like, you're not going to win if you do that. And admittedly, most people on there, because I don't like people, are twats and they go off and do that.
I don't think we've played Rush as a full squad yet, though, so I think we might do better with all of us playing.
I think we have. Maybe you, Scott, and Katie have.
Yeah. Anyway, I think it's worth going back to.
And then the other thing I've been playing is Batman as well. Yeah. What's it called?
Gotham City Imposters.
Yeah, that's the one. I was going to say Arkham City Imposters. Like, no, that's close. It's awesome.
I really love this game. Like, I played it's got a demo. It's got trial versions of every game on Xbox Live Arcade does, and it gives you 60 minutes of game time. You can't get achievements and you can't do some things, but you can play all the challenge maps, do the initiation, and you can go play some team deathmatch or some of the other game modes. And it's just stupid fun. Like, the shooting mechanics are solid, and then you've got like all the equipment, like spring boots, so you can do crazy jumps, glider.
The amount of customization.
Oh yeah,
it's insane.
I think it's the first game I've seen on Xbox Live that has like a full microtransaction system like you get on free-to-play games on PC like League of Legends.
Yeah.
Like, there's all the stuff there you can unlock slowly by yourself if you just keep playing. Like, all the costume changes you can get if you just grind out costume points. Or you can just buy them directly with Microsoft points. Like, there's a new story floating around at the moment that there's $220 worth of DLC for Gotham City Imposters.
Jesus.
Because
I also heard some people mentioning that it would like go free to play after a while, as in the full game would be free and then you got all the transactions.
I can see.
Which I don't think would happen.
It would
go cheaper, but
that would be the first free to play game on Xbox Live, so that would set a precedent. I don't see it happening, but I can understand if it did. There's only like four maps to it, and it's not a terribly complex game, but it's really, really fun. I really enjoy it.
Yeah.
Need to find some time to play more of that.
Yeah, I was only playing the trial, of course, but I'll probably buy it when I can.
Yeah.
But I definitely recommend everyone play the trial at least. Why not? You get an hour free of gameplay.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. And like this is just little touches. Like you can pick the voice your character has. Like there's a deadpan voice for the Batman team, and the deadpan voice is so fucking funny. And you can change the pitch, so you can have like a super high or a super low voice. And I don't know, it's just really fun. And the body types you can pick that affect movement speed, how much damage you can take, how other equipment works. Like there's it is complex when you really get down to it, but the gameplay itself is just like shoot people in the face. it's got that kind of Call of Duty reward system as well. Like when you get killed, all the points pop up on screen. You've got constant challenges you can do for doing things with different weapons, different characters, on different maps. Blah blah blah. It's got that.
I was reading.
Karen.
Okay. No, you can.
I was just going to say it's got that instant like dopamine reward system that Call of Duty nailed.
I was reading on GameSpy. There's a really damning review of it. Like, I don't know. They didn't seem to be able to look past the kind of the silliness, and then the microtransactions. They were very cynical of all the microtransactions and everything. But like, it's an option. It's a thing that you don't have to do. If you want to buy these things early.
That'd be like reviewing League of Legends and saying it's stupid because it's got microtransactions, or just saying it's like damning it because it's silly. It's not the point. That's the point of the game. Mm. It is fake Batman versus fake Jokers in a deathmatch environment, and it's fun and stupid. And
yeah. I mean, the other things they mentioned were that like it plays like a free to play game, but you've had to pay for it, which I can kind of appreciate, because like you only have 5 maps, and the matchmaking system, like, we didn't have too many problems, but apparently there is general difficulty in getting like a 6-on-6 game, and sometimes trouble getting any game.
I think the 6-on-6 is more to do with people not having it yet. Like, we were playing at day one release. Like, I will allow games to have some matchmaking issues day one release. Like, Battlefield had issues week one release, like with severe rubber banding issues and matchmaking not working properly. But you can forgive that stuff because that's when it comes out. It's hard to stress test properly for that kind of thing.
Yeah, and Modern Warfare's Elite Service had three-month release problems.
Exactly. Like when AAA games can't nail that stuff properly, you can't expect an Xbox Live Arcade game like this to nail it bang on day one. And it's, I don't know, it does feel a bit like a free-to-play game. Like, there's a sheen of polish I feel it might be missing, but that's not detrimental. The fact, if this was a super serious shooter, then yeah, I would criticise the like lack of sheen, but for a silly Batman versus Joker's game, that's fine.
Mm. How do you feel about only 5 maps, though, you think? Do you think it would have been better with a few more?
I think it could have benefited from a few more. I don't feel cheated by the lack of maps. I know that they're planning to bring out more maps and more customization items later.
Yeah, but so lots of spending to come.
Yeah, this is really paving the way for like a microtransaction system of gaming on Xbox Live, which is new and not been before, really.
Mm.
Like, you can buy, in Battlefield Bad Company 2, after a while, you could buy all the upgrades for the different kits. They could just buy your way to max stuff on a certain kit, which I imagine Battlefield 3 will do later. So that kind of stuff is there, but it's never been done on this scale.
Yeah.
And it's cool. It's a really fun game. I don't understand why people would be harsh on it. It's silly and it's very fun. It's like if you like Team Fortress, you will like it.
And it's only a tenner, so.
Yeah, it's a nice, fun game. Anyway, let's move on.
And then, just briefly, the only other game I'm playing is the Star Trek Online, which I've just started playing because it's free. But yeah. I'll talk about that next week.
Yeah, speaking of free to play. Anyway, let's move on to this week's Xbox sales.
Yeah.
An interesting top 10 this week, actually, especially compared to last week. At 10, we have Saints Row the Third. At 9, Just Dance 3. At number 8 is Skyrim. 7 is Modern Warfare 3.
That's dropped a lot.
Yeah.
I assume it'll go back up, though.
Yeah, looking at the top 5, it's kind of understandable. 6 is Assassin's Creed Revelations. 5 is a new entry with Soul Calibur 5, so that's doing well in its first week.
Mm.
4 is FIFA 12, always going to say in the top. 3 is Battlefield 3. I liked seeing that Battlefield 3 is outselling Modern Warfare 3 at this rate.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
Battlefield's been out longer.
It's probably the first time.
Battlefield's been out longer. It's sold over. It's been reported it's sold over 10 million units now, and it's still selling strong. Like, and anyway, number two is Metal Gear Solid HD Collection, and number one is Final Fantasy 13 2. Both of those new this week.
I have. If you want to ask me one bit of Ask Matt news now, I have related Ask Matt news.
Like, Matt, you've got something to say on this, apparently.
Yeah. Thanks for asking, Dave. That was good.
It's good.
According to the BBC, video game sales have fallen in January. They're 38% down on last year in January. Oh no, that's hardware sales were 38% down, and it's down 34% in January last year. MPD Group said stores sold $1.14 billion. Dollars, which is $720 million worth of games over the month, which is down 34%.
I can see why.
The story is actually saying this could fall ahead of, like, considering there's been reports that the Vita's been getting a bit better. It's saying the actual, and another like key point is that 360 is still the top selling hardware platform for that month. Six months running that is now.
Yep.
They also have a massive error in this report.
Oh.
I'll just read a paragraph. Well, it's a sentence, okay. And you tell me what's wrong. And it's pretty obvious straight away. NPD said that Activision Blizzard's Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 was the month's best-selling title.
Mm.
No one... Activision Blizzard's?
Oh, no, Activision Blizzard's the same company. They partnered.
Yeah. When did they do that?
A couple months ago.
Oh, that's news to me. Awesome. You should have put that in the news.
Yeah, probably should have.
But when you say Call of Duty... You think Activision, you don't think Blizzard.
Yeah, I think they partnered just because they're so rich.
We're rich, you're rich.
Let's put our pots of gold together.
I put your pot of gold next to my pot of gold. We'll have two pots of gold.
Yeah. I can understand why January sales figures are down, considering the amount of AAA games that came out at the back end of last year. January didn't see many good games that people were going to rush out and get, and people are still feeling the cost of all the games they bought last year.
And Christmas in general.
Yeah, last year was intense.
Video games news website IGN said it had noted a similar drop-off in activity in the UK market. It says sales should pick up when Mass Effect 3 goes on sale in March, but noted that shoppers were worried.
Yeah. Oh, they're worried. Oh.
I'm glad that they acknowledge that Mass Effect 3 will be the thing that brings it back there.
Yeah.
Because it will. That is going to sell well, I think.
I think last year's January was a bit more jam-packed than this year's. Did Dead Space come out last January?
Yep.
Yeah, so last January we had some good AAA titles to start the year off. This year,
Portal 2?
Yeah,
no, that was February. January.
Still start the year.
And this year we haven't had anything in January that was really like, hey, come buy this game, but February is starts with Final Fantasy 13, Metal Gear Solid HD, Soul Calibur 5. There's more games coming out. Sword of Wrath comes out soon. Kingdoms of Amalur just launched, but will be next week's sale figures. I want to see where that charts actually.
If it goes in the top, should knock some things out.
Yeah. Anyway, let's move on to this week's news. Okay, 9 pieces of news this week, and the first one is, rumours about a sequel to Deep Silver's Dead Island have gained more weight this week as the Polish studio posted job listings for work on an upcoming AAA game. Since the studio has no other games listed, it seems most likely that Dead Island 2, or Dead World, I think they've bought the rights to the name, is what they're working on. Cool. I'm glad to see that they're doing a sequel to that. The first one was good.
It was good, but it could be a lot better.
It felt a bit like proof of concept game, like you can do this kind of big open zombie world game.
Yeah, I mean, like in the progression of zombie games, like you have things like Left 4 Dead was like a big jump forward, and then this is another big jump forward. So.
I think the next huge leap forward will come with Class 3.
Class 3, yeah, definitely.
Such an erection for the game.
And then it'll end with the inevitable zombie apocalypse.
Yep, people will be sick of zombies when they're eating.
In real life, they're going to release that game with a virus that you and when you play it,
you become a zombie.
Don't lick your discs when you get that game.
Well, it'd be interesting if people are licking downloadable discs. But
that's what I do.
That's how media worked. But
well, let's,
Well, you know.
Digital media apparently becomes physical. Okay.
Let's move on to number two. How much do people love Tim Schafer? Apparently $1 million worth. The fan-favourite development studio Double Fine started a Kickstarter recently in an effort to find funding for an old-school point-and-click adventure game. In its first day, the Kickstarter project broke all records, gaining $1 million worth of funding. Yeah. $1 million in a day.
Yeah, it's quite ridiculous.
I mean,
I saw that posted on quite a few gaming websites, but I don't actually know who Tim Schafer is.
The head of Double Fine. Double Fine have done...
I don't know.
Psychonauts, Retronauts, Awesome Nauts, and a load of other games that I can't particularly remember. Oh, Happy Action Theatre, they brought that out last week.
So lots of things I've never played. Okay.
They used to work on like big AAA titles, and then they switched to like digital download titles for XBLA, PSN, that kind of thing. And now they do work that they want to do. They don't do shovelware. They don't make a game because someone else gives them money and says, make this game. They make games that they want to make. They're like, hey, this is a really cool idea, let's make this. Which is why people love their games. I think they did Stacking as well.
Oh,
yeah, so they work on interesting ideas as opposed to just going, hey, let's do a sequel to something. Speaking of sequels, in addition to this project, Double Fine are talking about doing a Psychonauts 2, which is a fan favourite of the Double Fine games. News which caught the ear of Minecraft creator Notch. It seems the man behind Minecraft wants Psychonauts 2 so much that he wants to invest his own money into the project. At the moment, Notch and Tim Schafer are in talks about this.
Cool.
I think it should be a good year for Double Fine at this rate. And I like that.
Yeah.
It's nice to see someone like Notch who's has weight in the industry going, hey, I want that game. I'll invest my own money in it. number four. SFX360.com are reporting that the internal beta testing for the next dashboard update is underway at Microsoft. This is strange news given how recently the latest update was launched. Nevertheless, it's nice to know they're keeping themselves busy. I find it weird that the beta's testing it already.
I'd imagine by a dashboard update, it's not going to be a brand new slide system. I imagine it's just the next iteration of the same system.
Next, like, 0.3 or something?
Yeah, like, it'll be a drastic update, but not to the UI. Probably add better functionality, make Connect a bit better, that kind of thing. Needs beta testing, basically.
I'd like to see some new features. Don't know what, I just think it needs more features.
Yeah.
Would say that.
Would you? Yeah, I would. We've got number five. Surprise! At a quarterly financial meeting, Activision announced the development of this year's Call of Duty game. Shocked? I thought so.
I've got a bit of news related to this.
Not shocked? Is that the news?
But that's not news.
is that news? Yeah. Firstly, it's confirmed as being it'll be the end of this year that it'll come out, most likely. It says this year, so that's usually their
when
window.
Did Modern Warfare 3 come out? Like November?
It was a couple of weeks after Battlefield.
No, I think November is the Call of Duty month.
Yeah.
I'm pretty confident I would put money on it coming out in, as I've just said, four times.
November.
Yeah. but the interesting thing is that... while this next COD game is going to be from the makers, the studio that did like Black Ops, so
Treyarch.
It could be a sequel to Black Ops. Infinity Ward are working on their sequel for the next gen of consoles, so they're putting the next gen being out in about 2 years from now.
Okay,
which is interesting.
That's interesting.
That's an interesting piece of news as an aside from the actual COD news. Their next one is for next gen.
I think that's one of the first times we've heard a studio explicitly saying we are working for next gen as well. A lot of studios are still focused on this generation because the life cycle technically still has another couple of years in it. It could push to another 3 years, really.
Yeah, well, I mean... That's the good thing about the way COD works is that they have separate teams that do different games. So you've got one team that's been working for a while on the one that will be coming out this year, and then you've got this team that's just starting on one that will be out in about 2 years.
Okay, interesting to see who. Yeah. So Infinity Ward are working on that. So who's working on next year's title? Unless they're putting the next gen coming out late next year with a COD game.
Yeah, that's what I'd think.
That would be I hate to say it, but that'd be probably the best launch title for the Xbox 360 that financially they could want. Like, hey, here's
it would just make sense.
The new Xbox with a new COD game. Buy it.
When? Yeah. Hang on. When do you reckon that's going to be?
About a year and a half to 2 years from now.
So my guess would be similar time to when the original Xbox came out. I don't know when the 360 came out, but my guess it would be either September in a, like, so maybe September 2013 or November, December time, 2013.
I think they may, and they might time it with, like, a COD release, because that would really pull them.
I think they'll time it with a Halo release.
They could go for both.
But the point, my point being, they need a
strong
they need an Xbox 360 exclusive title to go with it. Halo 5
that you said no
would be Halo 5, which would probably be the, put it this way, I think what 343 have said is it will be probably yearly.
Yeah.
And there's three more to come out. I imagine Halo 4 is going to come out in November-ish, maybe September. I think it's November-ish. And Halo 5 will come out a year after that.
Well, I think with the way that Call of Duty favours Xbox, and at least in terms of exclusivity, like of DLC and such, and kind of the support and like that side of things, I think they would quite happily tailor their timeline so that it was for a flagship title as well. Like, if they were primarily moving it for a Halo title to be a flagship title, then Call of Duty might be like, oh, we'll come out about that time
I think the launch of the next console is going to see a good couple of a stronger lineup than previous hardware launches have seen, because now people know that's an important thing that you need.
And we've got such strong current gen that you need to motivate people to move to the next gen. Because, you're going to need... the thing is, a new Call of Duty title is that as soon as a new Call of Duty is out, the majority of Call of Duty players, put down their old copy, move to the new gen, the new iteration of Call of Duty. So that's a very big motivator to get people to sign up quickly to the new
Halo
console.
And if Epic ever go back to revisit Gears, like maybe a prequel story.
Okay,
where were we? Okay, number six. Have you played Skyrim? Did you ever think that you need to be able to ride dragons? How about being a flying vampire lord? It seems Bethesda were listening. At a recent conference, Bethesda talked about the possibility of such ideas being featured as future, paid, or free DLC.
That's cool.
Yeah, there's a whole list of things which they're talking about possibly bringing, like building a new house, new... what's the word? People that... more companions to take with you, being a flying vampire lord, having vampire minions, rideable dragons, unique mounts, more like the one you get from the Thieves Guild, because this, I think they're saying what people are doing on the PC and saying, well, we probably should have done some of this stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say that ties in nicely with the recent release of the...
Creation Kit.
Is it something Workshop?
Skyrim Creation Kit and High-Res Texture Pack.
And there's a new program they brought out to keep everyone's mods together.
Yeah.
So, because it's quite supportive of mods. And there's a new Portal mod, which I like, which is a you have Space Core.
Bethesda really like just... I think Bethesda games are really open to this kind of thing, especially Skyrim. Elder Scrolls had a lot. Not Elder Scrolls. The last one, which was not...
Oblivion.
Yeah, Oblivion had a lot of mods, especially on the PC. I think Bethesda games are really tailored towards the PC community. I mean, they still work on 360 and consoles, but I think they are a slightly a bit more tailored towards PC. I mean, look at the PS3 launch. That was a bit dismal.
Yeah. I mean, and in this generation for PC, they've put in a lot more support for what people want to actually do. Because, in Oblivion with mods, you could use mods, but they were very temperamental because the system wasn't really as made for it. Whereas now, there's proper functionality that they're providing for people to use mods. Yeah.
Good Bethesda. Anyway, on to number seven. Details have emerged about upcoming 360 exclusive Deadlight. In an interview, the series creator Raul Rubio... I don't know why I wrote the sentence is weird. A fair amount of detail surfaced. The game, as it stands, looks to be a narratively driven XBLA game, standing about 6 hours for the narrative story. And it features... the screenshots I've seen look very Limbo-esque. It's got that kind of shadowy art style to it. Most interestingly, the interview mentioned the possibility of future iterations being full retail releases. Like, he talked about the fact they've done a lot of research and they already have existing stories in the canon outside of what their initial deadline release will be. So they're building a franchise before they release the first game, almost. It's an interesting move, because like, Halo came out and then a franchise and a universe built around it. This is they're building a universe and then making a game. Similar to Kingdoms of Amalur, that has an extensive backstory that the game doesn't necessarily touch on, because it has such a strong writing team behind it. So I'm looking forward to Deadlight. I don't think there's an official release date or even like projected release date for it yet. But that will be out on XBLA, I'm guessing, some point this year, because I'm seeing screenshots of it now. Moving on to some interesting Xbox news. Xbox Magazine seems to think that the next Xbox will feature a tablet-style device. The magazine reports that the next console will ship with a tablet device that can be used as a touchscreen controller or as a media streaming device. This is interesting as it's never been discussed as an option. As well, this report talks about the console appearing at this year's E3, which is contrary to what Microsoft is saying.
So yeah, I certainly don't think that part's true.
I don't know. Xbox Magazine. This is... It's either very brazen of them to assert this and be wrong, or they know something we don't.
Well, I mean, they've got to be going off of rumours. I mean, they might think that their source is reliable, but if Microsoft themselves has said we're not going to be showing,
when I read this, I thought about the wording that Microsoft said, and they said no. I can't remember the exact wording, but they didn't explicitly say they wouldn't be showing it. I think their statements kind of hint towards that they won't be releasing it. So they may come to E3 with a showing of the console, or at least concept for the console. That, like, Microsoft's E3 conference is going to be a one to watch, because I think it's going to feature a lot of surprises.
Well, yeah. I mean, and then the idea of a tablet kind of it's very, very similar to the Wii U kind of idea of the controller.
The difference is, I think it's still, you'll still have the controller. I think this is just a tablet as well. Like, not attached, so you don't have a controller that is a tablet. You have a controller and a tablet, which is...
It's like a remote kind of thing and like a streaming
I think
thing.
The tablet part of it may, if this is true, might be focusing more towards the audience that they're trying to get now with all this the TV and the media that they're using. So the tablet becomes like the entertainment control, as well as having some game functionality.
I think it'd be cool also if you had if it had a camera in it, you could be video calling with your friends through it as well.
They also mentioned that the next console will ship with a Kinect, like just default.
Yeah, well, you have that with the Star Wars Xbox.
Yeah, but that's like a special edition. Like this will be.
But you know, it seemed to be like a kind of a conscious effort to be pushing it. And then, like, as you say, it'll then be default, so. It's cool.
Any thoughts, Matt?
Not really, sorry.
You're just here, really, aren't you?
Yeah. I'm just here, I'm about.
Okay. Yeah. That was...
Well, yeah, it sounds cool, but I... You know what? Sometimes I'm in the mood to be all, I like to speculate, I love speculating, and sometimes I'm like, no, we will wait, and we will let's not speculate. There might not be any tablet. Might not even be one. There might even be a new console. They might decided, nope, we're not doing it anymore. We're done.
You know,
we're done. No, you know what? You know what? We're doing so well. Let's just let Sony have it.
But before,
or the Nintendo. Maybe they're just so scared of the Nintendo Wii U that they don't want to make a new console. All of these things.
I was with you until that point.
Before I saw this release, I was basically done on speculating about the next console, because there's people left and right just going, it has this processor, no, it has this one, it'll have this feature, no, it'll have this feature. This one was just interesting because the whole tablet thing and the E3 comment. Like, those are two things which, coming from Xbox Game Mode, is usually a reliable source, and I just, I don't know.
There's a strong indication from Microsoft that they won't be at this E3.
I don't know, I think... I think they may be bluffing a little bit.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, we just have to see what happens. But, like, like you say, with cool ideas. I don't like to, like, when people say this graphics chip, that graphics chip, it's like, yeah, cool, it's going to be a cool new graphics chip, it's going to look cool, great. But, like, the like concepts, like having a new tablet device thing that's connected to it, I think that's a cool thing to think
the,
about.
The article in Xbox Game Talks says that Microsoft being, like, what's the word? They're being they're playing it safe with the GPU and the CPU. Like, they're not crazy expensive, crazy intent, like amazing, but they're good. They are they're good, like they're high end current PC gen, so they'll be future proofed for the next console gen. But they're being more, they're exploring more ideas when it comes to features. They're being more adventurous in the feature avenue. Like, they're not pushing for as amazing hardware. They're pushing so that the console does more as opposed to just looks better. Yeah. Which is a good move, I think. Something that Sony don't do a lot.
I think in terms of, like, that along those kind of lines, I would want the next-gen console to be a lot thinner.
I think they will. I mean, look at the X 360 Slim. They've already proven that they can make something that good, that small, and that effective.
Yeah. Because it was fairly clunky before, and then they've cut off like the top of it, and then like the hard drive system saves a lot of space. And then, like if they're using like high end, like not too high end, but fairly high end like chipsets and stuff, then hopefully they can make it all more compact.
Anyway, on the last piece of news, which I forgot to write down, in a recent interview, David Jaffe, the creator of Twisted Metal,
Jaffa Cakes,
Dave Jaffa Cakes. he was doing an interview, and it was fairly tame, and then towards the end, he made a really sexist and misogynist statement, which pissed me off, and also pissed off...
Did he say that men have penis?
Also pissed off Matt Clark, a writer at MTV MTV's game department. They had a massive argument on Twitter, and it was fun to watch. Anyway, the statement he said was, if you buy Twisted Metal and maybe let your girlfriend win, she'll give you a blowjob. I was just like, I'm sorry, you're a respected industry veteran, and you just said that. Like,
probably shouldn't say that. It's funny, but you probably shouldn't say that.
And he...
Not when you're in the industry. Like, I wouldn't say that if I was in that position.
Like, Matt Clark was viciously attacking him for being, like, for making such a misogynist statement. And David Jeffrey was like, well, I didn't say anything wrong. What did I say? What's wrong with that? That's not sexist. What?
That's... It's something you can say with friends because you understand each other's sense of humour. You can't say it to the public.
As a public figure, you don't say that shit in an interview. That's just stupid. Like, he was like, "Well, what girl gamers could let their boyfriends win, and then the boyfriends would give them oral pleasure." That was one of his, his comments to
good
to
reply,
defend, to
well
defend his point. I was like, "You're a dick." it just annoyed me. And
Dave, is this your alter ego?
What, David Jaffe? No. Why is everyone quiet?
Hello.
Yep, and everything's fine. Good. Don't know what happened there.
I lost internet connection.
All right. Oh, are you hosting?
And as it's my call, yeah.
Ah, okay, that makes sense.
Sozo.
Nope,
that was scary. I always get scared of, oh, we've lost that. Damn it.
No, I still
see. Right, carry on.
Yeah, okay.
We'd pretty much done that, though, hadn't we?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so I don't like David Scott Jaffe anymore. Like, he's a douche. Also, he's moving away. He's leaving Eat Sleep Game, which is the studio behind Twisted Metal, to do focus on, like, mobile games and browser games. So he's just wasting his career.
What a jerk.
I don't like David Scott. I don't.
When we've done Twox, can I go and... Urinate.
Yeah, that's fine.
Thanks.
You could have said that when it came to that point.
Do I need to do Ask Matt or Ask Dan, or have you got more things to tell me?
Oh,
ask me things.
Okay, well, I'll go Dan. What have you got to tell me this week, Dan? Dan face.
I've got two things. One is that George Lucas has completely confirmed that Han Solo never shot first. It's been said backwards and forwards, and like people have said different things, but he's mentioned in an interview that it was never the case that Solo shot first. It was just due to the weird camera angle, and that in the newer version, the camera angle was just further out, so you could actually see the shots.
He needs to shut the fuck up and stop this shit.
But But he's confirming that he never actually changed that scene.
No, but that
he just made it more clear by
changing the camera angle, leaving that ambiguous, not having Darth Vader have a stupid scream at the end. This kind of thing is what made the original Star Wars so good, because there's like controversy and there's discussion points. He's like coming out saying, "No, stop talking about it. This is what happened. This is my movie. Fuck you all. I hate George Lucas."
No, I think this one case, I'm happy that that's been confirmed. Whereas all these other changes that he shits on his creation, I get annoyed by. But
what's your other hopefully less outrageous news?
And then the other one, well, probably not for you, is that...
That's iOS news then.
The news is that House has been cancelled.
Oh, fuck yes, you sent me this link. I am annoyed.
Yeah.
Because this seems sudden, and like I don't think there's enough time in the series to properly round off. I don't think I'm going to be happy with the end.
Yeah, they've been talking about it kind of for a little while. Like, Fox needed to confirm... needed to confirm which series they were keeping on, which they were cancelling. There was quite a few that were up in the air. And then they confirmed this. So.
No, but I was expecting the next series to be the end. I was prepared for that. This series, no, because this series is turning out really well. The last episode was amazing. One of the best episodes they've done.
Yeah.
Do you mind me talking about it?
No, like by the time I come around to watching it, if I do, I don't remember.
Okay, sweet. So it starts off and it's just like panning around this hospital room that's been fucked up. There's blood everywhere. And then the next thing, it's like a disciplinary hearing with House. Like, it turns out there's a patient. Shit went wrong, and he stabs Chase in the heart.
Right.
And like Chase nearly dies, and then can't walk, and then they fix him. So there's all that, but it's all based around like whose fault, who's to blame for what happened. Because if it's House's fault, then he gets suspended, and then he goes back to prison. So there's a lot. There's like a big suspense thing to it. And like House fixed the guy. The person running the discipline committee was like about to send House back to prison and suspend him. Then the woman of the patient walks in, tells them that House got the right guess, because he always gets the right guess, and fixes him. Yeah. Then the guy changes his mind, sets him free, and then House, being self-destructive as he is, goes, "Fuck you, if you were going to fire me, just fire me," then walks off, goes to Chase, who's in physiotherapy, like learning to walk again, and is like, he apologises, which is like the first time you've ever heard him apologise for something like that.
I'm sorry, terribly sorry for stabbing you in the chest.
It's a really good episode for character development. Not necessarily story, because nothing happens. Chase gets stabbed.
Yeah.
But it was super. I mean, like, it was what. I kind of drift in and out of House sometimes. Like, I really like it, but there's scenes that are just, like, bored.
Yeah.
This, I was just on edge the entire time. Such a good episode.
Do you think they. With the news that it's going to be ending, they'll lead it towards him going back to prison or happy ending?
Talking about Willis?
talking about House. Don't know.
Oh, Dave, did you have a cry wank after that? After you found that?
A little bit. Anyway.
I love you. House MD.
Anyway, based on what they're doing and how many episodes they've got left, they're going to have to really focus in the last set of episodes. It's saying that they've already got them recorded. Like, surely at this point, all the episodes are done. Which means they knew it was going to get cancelled and have written it already, in which case I don't know what they're going to do. Or they're going to re-record or recut things. Either way, I don't think I'm going to be happy with the ending.
I think they'd have to re-record at least the last episode.
I know. House is being, like, the series he's seeing House being more self-destructive than usual. So I can kind of predict some endings, but I don't think I'm going to like them. Anyway,
he's dead.
That's Ask Dan. Let's move to Ask Matt.
I've got one more bit to tell you.
Okay, how's your urine?
It was I'm thinking yellow? a bit dehydrated. So.
Dark.
Yellow. Okay. Yes, yellow.
Anyway,
it was bleeding actually. No,
okay.
I'm joking.
Gross.
Obviously, it was bleeding.
Puffs everywhere.
That wasn't the urine. That was just my sores. just an interesting thing. Microsoft have pledged, this is again from BBC, have pledged not to block rivals' products, this is quoted directly from the BBC, products if they infringe patents its own it owns which are deemed essential to an industry standard. So an example of this is such patents cover intellectual property rights, which without those widely used formats such as MP3 or JPEG would not have been about.
Okay. Right.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
So because, you know, there's a whole Apple Samsung thing at the minute.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, you sued me for this patent. All right, I'm going to sue you for this patent. Okay, well, I'm going to sue you back for this patent. And it's like, fuck off. Basically, what they're saying is it's stupid. If they're going to keep doing it, then eventually it's going to be like, well, you can't watch this video content on your Samsung device because that's an Apple video content thing, you know?
Yeah.
But all sorts of different. So it's just, and Microsoft are basically saying, if you want to use something we've created and it's you'd like need to use it, or it's going to help other people have access to it, then you can use our content.
Yeah,
and they've said that. They've made a statement, and Apple have said as well. He said, there's a couple of other good, interesting quotes here. Microsoft lawyer David Heiner wrote in a blog that the internet only worked because firms had agreed to license their inventions to each other. Would you buy a smartphone, an iPad, or a personal computer that couldn't play video or connect to a wireless network? Probably not.
No.
basically, Microsoft and Apple's call has also received backing from the networking equipment maker Cisco Systems. It's basically saying they want more people to say, yeah, we're going to stop suing people for stuff all the time.
Let's stop being children.
Like, fair enough, legitimate stuff. Like, if Apple were to use a new system in, say, their screen was patented and it was a proper, like, anyone can develop a screen, but by copying that completely, then yeah, sue them, fine. That's fair enough, they shouldn't be using it. But like a video for, like, you know, like a QuickTime or something like that, which is an Apple thing, isn't it? I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it's just.
I think it was interesting that, especially that Microsoft have led, like Microsoft and Apple are leading the way, saying, "Right, we're going to stop doing this."
Especially Apple, considering they were part of the whole like.
Well, I think they're going to still pursue in that, if that makes sense. Well, at the minute, aren't they blocked in Germany? They're not allowed to sell iPads in Germany.
Yeah, there was a brief overturning, but then it's been reinstated, and there's injunctions put in and blah, blah.
So Apple are still being childish, but at the same time saying, "We'll stop being childish."
Yeah, in things that. Kind of common use,
well,
almost.
The FOSS Patents blog published a letter from, I think it's from Apple, on Wednesday, in which it called on the European Telecommunications Standards Institute, which I assume has some power over that market, to adopt the proposals set out in Apple's letter.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah. Might also put pressure on Google, it says, and Motorola, stuff like that.
Sweet.
Very interesting.
All right, let's move on to this week on Xbox Live.
Waiting.
We were talking about stupid names. No, we were talking about House while you were gone.
besides, we need you because we take it in turns now, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, remember.
Sorry.
Yeah. Anyway, starting with arcade releases. Two arcade releases this week. First is Shank 2 for 800 Microsoft points.
Are we alternating on arcade as well? Or on everything?
Yeah, on everything.
On Twox. Okay. So you, Dan.
Okay. So we also have Gotham City Imposters for 1200 Microsoft points. Play it.
You don't have to shout.
Games on Demand, or God, as we like to call them. PDC World Championship Darts Pro Tour for £15. Bargain. Couldn't just buy a darts for less than that. Anyway.
I know, right.
Go on.
Next is Divinity 2 for £15.
Then we have Lego Harry Potter for £15. Cool.
Moving on to indie games, Balloon Guard.
Also, Atom.
Also, Union of Armstrong.
Dan, why do you make it creepy?
Because first you said don't shout, so now I was like, creepy whisper.
Just use your normal voice, weirdo.
So, okay, creepy whisper.
Also, Grey Infection.
Which is, funnily, that's what Matt has. Or, next is Cell Emergence.
And then Pickbox.
You fucking creepy people.
Marathon Monk.
And then Kingdom.
And then Space Pirates Adventures.
A Voxel Action.
Fucking weirdos. Avatar Block War.
Minor Style.
Katana Land.
Moving on to DLC, there is currently £220, as we said earlier, £220 worth of Gotham City Imposters DLC.
That's a shit ton there. And we also have Choplifter HD, Arrowhead Chopper, Albatross Chopper. Yeah, for some points, maybe. I don't know. It's crazy.
Kingdoms Opuf Mamlar. Kingdoms Opuf Malar. Finesse bonus pack. That might, I guess, Kingdoms of Amlar?
Yeah, I spelled it wrong. Anyway.
And, the M in capital.
rounding off DLC is Tropico 4's Quick Dry Cement DLC.
Yeah, rush out and get that. And also, there's a demo for Kinect Disneyland Adventure Demo. There's a demo called Demo at the end. Demo.
You could have said, and the demo is the Kinect Disneyland Adventure Demo.
Deal of the week, gold member deals. Okay, whatever. Crimson Alliance, all characters are discounted.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. That was awkward. I'm glad we got through that. Okay, which one do you have talk time? I think we talked about the Xbox advice.
Yeah,
right.
So that's it. Middle.
Alright, I'll do
the
end. On to this week's short time, which this week we're talking about Xbox Live Arcade becoming the new platform for middleware. So in the past, on retail, you always had the AAA games, and then you had like low-end crappy games. But there were middleware games, which were not super high-budget, but they weren't like terrible shovelware. These were solid games that just didn't cost as much to make. Generally didn't get massive sales, which is why middleware retail is diminishing quickly. Well,
E.g.
What?
E.g.
Example.
Give me an example.
THQ on the middleware. Throw that out there because they're bugging off.
Dave's gone silent.
You're confusing me. Anyway,
I want an example middleware game, please.
Alan Wake would almost be a middleware game, the original one, because that wasn't full AAA. It didn't have the sales of a AAA game, and now we...
But this is XBLA games, you're blowing my mind.
No, I thought you wanted examples of retail middleware.
Yeah, Dave's setting the precedent for middleware before XBLA.
Yes, anyway. And now you're seeing these kind of middleware titles, that are not hugely financed titles, moving on to XBLA. So you've got Alan Wake coming on to... XBLA. The best example I can give is I'm Alive, which was supposed to be a retail title. They didn't have enough funding to make it a full AAA title, as well as some other factors in it, and they shifted it to a large XBLA game. So this is the precedent being set, and I think I like the idea, but there are issues in, like, might you like to own a game, whereas now all these middleware games are going to be download only, which means you don't have a physical copy. I know you prefer to have physical copies of games.
I cry about that every night. but it's not so much I like to own the game, but I know that I'll be able to own most copies of my games, like the proper games that are in boxes. I will, for a while, I'll still be able to do that.
Yeah.
But if a game comes out on XBLA, like the new Alan Wake game, I'm not going to be like, oh god, I can't get that, it's got a box. I'm still going to get it. It's just I like to have
the box.
If the box is an option, if the box is an option, I'll take the box. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I think like something you could see is you'd still have like, obviously it's not always going to be the case, but for some titles you might have like limited edition versions being made in boxes, and you have all the fancy stuff, and then the standard version is a download only.
I don't see that happening because there's like publishing issues when it comes to that.
Is there? Oh, fine.
For the same reason that retail games don't come to digital distribution platforms for months.
Yeah.
And even then, it's selected based on the sales of the game.
Mm.
I know. This is moving towards the digital distribution model for the industry, which I think I'm not sure whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I'd like to have more digital distribution. I'd like to see more games released.
I'd like to see the option of digital distribution. I mean, once it's on there, it doesn't cost any more to have it on there. It's just a copy of a game that's downloaded multiple times.
Mm.
You know, I almost don't see a reason not to have it on there as an option. You know?
Yeah. In terms of, going back to the middleware argument, this, using Xbox Live as a platform, whether it's a game on a full game on demand release, like only release, or whether it's just an XBLA game, that drastically cuts down on the production cost for the company, so they can put more money into making the game better. Like, they don't have to worry about production or shipping. They can literally say, here's my finished product, send it off to Microsoft, and then they have more money to make a better game with. That's why we're seeing Xbox Live Arcade games getting better and getting big. I mean, look at Xbox Live Arcade releases 2 years ago compared to the games we're getting now.
Yeah, I mean, like, 2 years ago, I didn't really touch any arcade games. Whereas, like things like I've already forgotten the name. Thingy Imposters. Yeah, that's like, it has its faults, but it's a really good game, and I don't think it wouldn't really work as a hard copy. No, I don't
like
know.
if that would have been a middleware retail title, there would have been more maps, maybe a little bit more sheen on it, but that wouldn't have been a satisfying download like retail title. But as this download microtransaction system, that's a much better place for it. I'm Alive, I think, may have struggled as a retail title, and the fact that it's coming out on Xbox Live Arcade as part of the House Party promotion, that's going to really boost the sales. It's saved money, which Ubisoft drastically need to save on this game, because they've already pumped a lot into it.
Yeah. And
I think it allows more room for innovation as well. I mean, with retail titles, you need to produce something which you're almost sure is going to sell, because you are investing such a large amount in it. Whereas, like, Alan Wake's American Nightmare takes a different tone to the Alan Wake game than the previous one. Like, this in the developer diary they released recently, they said that Alan Wake, the first one, was more Stephen King, and this is more Quentin Tarantino. So it's gone from more of a pulp feel. And looking at the trailers, it really does. The combat is sped up. There's like an arena mode where you just hold out for as long as you can against endless waves of Taken. I mean, that's something that on a retail game, I'd be a bit like, well, why have you put this there? This feels tacked on. In an XBLA game, I'm more happy to accept that.
Like, you know, first came into my head when you said the last one was more Stephen King, next one's going to be... I was like, what, Stephen Merchant? I was like, expecting a Stephen, and I was like, and that's the first one to pop into my head. Like, that would be quite different.
I think the full quote was, the first Alan Wake was more Lost, and Lost meets Stephen King, and then the next one is more of a Quentin Tarantino feel, which it does have. From looking at it,
yeah, cool.
I know. I'd like to see how the next generation of consoles handles middleware. So I think the production costs are always production costs for each generation go up because you have to put so much more time and effort. It probably won't go up as steeply this generation as it did last generation because the hardware won't be drastically different. It'll just be a better version of what's available now. But you still have to put more time and effort into it, and that's where the middleware games are really suffering, because they don't have the money to put into the production. They can't make them as good as they can. So if you completely remove physical production costs, physical shipping, you don't even need as much advertising, really. Like, XBLA games don't get advertised on television.
No, I mean, hasn't this Alan Wake been advertised?
It has some trailers on the internet and a fair amount of advertising around, but you won't see it advertised on TV. Like, did the first one get advertised on TV? I think it did.
I think I remember. Yeah, like not a lot, but it did.
Yeah. So they can save a lot.
I imagine you're more likely to see adverts for that on the dashboard.
Yeah. So you save a lot. They're saving a lot of money, and in turn, I think making better products. But this does mean that you will see less games coming to retail. If this model continues and is proven to be a successful and useful idea, the future of retail shifts, because that means less games in the hands of retailers, which means they have less to do, and they're already under strain, and they've got the rumors about used game issues for next gen. So if you have less retail titles, used games not working, what does that leave for like retailers to sell?
I think it's an interesting, especially in like context of the talks that we've had about the next gen Xbox not allowing pre-owned games, that this is kind of a workaround, because if you're putting titles out on XBLA, then obviously you're paying for it. You're paying directly to the developer, and you don't need to be doing any kind of key code system.
You know what? I'd never even consider that.
It's quite a, like, it makes sense as a solution that, like, it definitely takes money straight to the developer, and you can get it straight off the dashboard. You can reduce all your costs and everything like that, and you don't have to worry about piracy as much. So.
There's a downside when it comes to this model, though, which is that it negatively affects people with either who don't have Xbox Gold or don't have an internet connection. People who just have a console and buy games, because then they're missing out on these kind of franchises. And if I've heard this idea discussed before, and it's one that might work, but would take some real, real work to be successful, which is retailers selling digital games via like a USB stick.
Mm. Well, yeah, I've thought about that before and discussed it. I think on my other podcast, I don't know if that would work. I mean, you can either a USB memory stick with the game on, or just codes with the games on, which you're starting to see now. Like, you're seeing things where it's either the code to download the game, or these are the exact amount of points that you need to download this game. But I think the USB stick would work.
The idea of a USB device over code is that for people who don't have internet and who still want these games.
Yeah, and it would keep the retailers in business as well.
Well, obviously there'd be a markup for them, and I don't know where the cost would fall for the USB sticks. Obviously, they're not expensive, but they're still not that cheap. I mean, would that fall to the developers to ship USB sticks, or would the retailers just get USB sticks en masse, get licensed to hand out copies of the game with like a verification code? Because then that again gets around the used market issue. Because you can't, like, if you say you buy it and you get a code, then you go install it to your Xbox hard drive off this USB stick, or even just play it off this stick. That would solve some memory issues. You need like an Xbox. You need a code to activate it, and that gets around piracy.
Yeah, I mean, something I had as an idea myself when I was thinking about this before was that, say in game or game station or whatever, you would have like a dock in the corner of the store, and you could plug in your own USB device and then purchase game straight to that USB device, and then you can take your USB stick home and put it on your hard drive.
That would work.
That'd be quite cool. Work, but then they'd have to have some serious protection against taking that, copying that file and making it widely used.
Yeah,
that's the problem.
If the whole point of that is to use some sort of verification code thing, you probably need to be connected to the internet. And if the whole point of that is to help people that aren't connected to the internet,
it needs to
have a serious kind of...
You need to develop a non-online kind of one-use file system kind of thing. Like, I don't know if that exists. Like,
well, you could have
this file deletes itself once you put it onto a hard drive.
No, or you could have you could have coding where they take the USB drive to install it on their hard drive, and then you know how your Microsoft know what console you've downloaded things to.
Yeah.
So they can bind this USB stick version of the game to the console that you first install it on, so that it doesn't work on any other console.
But the problem is, if your Xbox console isn't online, then do you do that? The ID of the console.
Yeah, because the ID of the console is on your console, and then you have the coding for this in the memory stick itself. So it's just that memory stick binds with that console. So if you go to use it on another console, it goes, no, this isn't the right console, won't play.
Yeah, I mean, you could have you could still have your gamertag system attached to your console, and then, like, say when you go into a store, then you're logging in with your gamertag still, but that's attached specifically to your console.
Yeah.
So the thing you're downloading to that gamertag is attached to that console.
Yeah.
I mean, people are certainly going to have to get creative in any way, because pirates always find ways around things. So the people that want things not to be pirated have to find ways around that.
It's going to get hacked and pirated no matter what system you use. It's how difficult you make it for the pirates, how long you can put off them cracking it.
Yeah, I mean, as long as the majority of people still have to pay, then there's no loss, like, per se, because the majority of people that pirate things probably wouldn't have bought it anyway if it wasn't free.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But back to the actual point of, like, XBLA and like middle market kind of games. Like I can see either on XBLA or with this kind of a system, you'd have to, like, the limit is of course like the size that you can have the files being.
Well, you can have, and like you can get like a couple of gigabytes hard flashed it, like memory sticks. Yeah. And if the USB, if it was a system where the retailers had all the USB sticks, like they just had, they had a deal.
You can get 16 gig memory sticks. Yeah.
So if
there's a 16 gig Xbox Live branded one, that's about £15.
So maybe, like, Microsoft could strike a deal and say, give retailers like a load of them and say, here they are, you install the games to these memory sticks, like obviously to be customized specifically for that this purpose. Yeah. Like specifically sized, and then the retailers just download their like copies of the game onto that, and then people take them from there. And the cost there would fall to Microsoft or to the retailers, not to the developers. So they're still saving money, so they can still pull money into these middleware games.
Yeah,
I would imagine that anything's going to happen where I'd imagine it will still go down to the publisher. Not to the or the developer, not to the. I don't think Microsoft are going to pick it up, or anyone's going to pick, or GameStation are going to pick it up, or anything like that. I think it will be the public. Like, it's not going to change. I don't reckon.
Well, you know, I think like if there was any kind of system like this of USB thing, you'd have to price these games about the same price you get pre-owned games now. I think you couldn't do it much more than that.
Well, look at.
But that would mean people could spend more anyway, so it wouldn't really kill the industry for retailers, because people would be able to buy more games.
I mean, look at the pricing. Like, a £1,200 Microsoft Point game is, what, £10, £15?
It's,
I know £1,200 Microsoft Points roughly equates to about $15, so about £10, £12.
Yeah.
So all you do is put, say, like a £5 markup.
Yeah.
That means the retailer sell. So you can download it yourself if you can do that. So you download it yourself for a slightly reduced price, or if you want this USB copy, or you don't have access to the internet, you need the USB copy. You're paying a premium, but you're paying a premium for something you couldn't get otherwise. And it's still not much of a markup. You're still not paying £40 for a new game. You're paying £15 to £20 top. So you're getting half a game that's. I mean, look at the size, the way XBLA games are going, they're getting bigger and more adventurous. So you're going to still get a large amount of content for half the price.
Yeah.
Who was that?
That wasn't me.
Dave?
That wasn't me.
It wasn't me.
That wasn't me.
It was you, Dan.
Well, we're done. That brought down the tone of the conversation.
I think that's pretty much ended that.
Oh, sorry, guys.
Fucking hell, Dan. You disgust me.
Having a nice highbrow conversation, Dan's like, I'm a fart. Proper squeaker.
I'm just so you know, I'm gonna fart now. Yeah.
Well,
hell,
hey, if Scott Bromley can do it, then I can do it.
You're not Scott Bromley, Dan. You're not Scott Bromley.
No, but I mean, if the quality of his podcasts, he can still fart on them, then I'm sure we can fart on them.
Well, anyway, let's.
Or you might just want to edit it out. Anyway,
let's move on from talk time and Dan's farting to our entertainment section.
What?
Well, I don't really. I've been pretty dull this week. I think I watched. I was literally before we started podcasting. I was watching Section 9.
Section 9.
Section 9. Oh fuck. Yeah, Section 9. It's the film about. Oh fuck! Why can't I remember?
Oh yeah, like aliens being like, is that alien thing with like there's that sign with the alien on that kind of thing.
Yeah, and yeah. They come in the ship and the ship gets stranded over Johannesburg and then they live in slums and then they're trying to evict them. This dude gets sprayed with the thing and turns into one of them. Spoilers, sorry.
God.
It's a really good film. I really like it. The main actor is the guy, the manager from Flight of the Conchords.
Oh.
Cool. Rhys Darby.
Yes, and he is amazing in this. Like, just flat out perfect.
Did you know... You what?
Go on. Go on, Dan.
Okay. Did you know that one of the guys from Flight of the Conchords is the director of the new Muppets film?
Yeah.
I'm guessing it's...
Probably the main.
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah.
Could be Brett. But, yeah. Could be Brett.
Could be. But, yeah. Frontman.
I saw a film this week.
What was it?
Cineworlds. All the cinemas.
What did you see?
Chronicles.
Oh, I really want to see that. Was it good?
Yes, it was good. Probably can't talk about it if you're going to see it.
Yeah, I'll probably watch it somehow as well.
It is good. The adverts for it kind of give it a... They kind of start to show a bit about what happens, but not a lot. And basically, it's quite a dark film in places.
Yeah. Sweet.
But it's good. It's very good. Very, very, very good. I enjoyed it. Wasn't particularly happy with the end, but that's my opinion. Sam liked it, so...
Yeah. Fair enough.
I'll stop.
But from the trailers, I'm intrigued as to... Obviously, they don't mention it, but I'm intrigued as to what exactly causes their abilities. Because you have
Just to do a shameless plug, the Game Fanatics now have a staff member who sole purpose is reviewing movies, so there's a review of Chronicle up on the website.
Cool.
Shameless plug over.
I thought you were going to mention the two program Shameless and how shit it is.
Oh, no.
Okay. That's my shameless plug. Yeah?
I don't really want... This doesn't really spoil anything, but... it's never really doesn't. If the poor purpose of the film isn't to explain what happens to them.
No, okay, yeah, cool.
And
what happens
unless I missed something massive? I don't know what happened to them.
Oh, okay,
all right.
Really, that's it.
One of
but
those.
It's very interestingly done.
Mm. Okay.
Cool.
Oh, do we want to move on to Walking Dead now, or have we got more to talk about?
Trying to think. I'm sure I have something, but I can't remember if it was Chronicle or not.
Oh, I've started watching Stargate season by season. I've acquired that. And hey,
Stargate is boring.
No.
Oh, watched Noel Fielding's Luxury Comedy last night.
Oh, how is that?
Well, everyone says it's shit, but I. It didn't really have a story to it, and I wasn't, like, glued to the telly, but when I was watching it, I was kind of laughing my arse off. Like, it's so fucking weird. He's like, night, the mountains were tutting at him, so he went over and burned one of their cheeks with a hot spoon. It's just, like, general weird Noel Fielding stuff, and I find it funny. I can understand why some people don't like it. But I generally thought when I was I was playing Mass Effect at the same time. But I was like, I was genuinely laughing out loud a lot, whether or not it was good.
Well, if it made you laugh, that's the point. So
there were some bits where I was a bit like, okay, this is a bit weird. Like some bits obviously you don't get, but worth giving it. I wouldn't like watch it on catch up, but maybe watch it when it's on next week, 10 o'clock on Thursday.
I think I'll go back and watch it on catch up. Oh fuck! I just realised I missed 10 o'clock news.
Yeah, I saw that on catch-up. I was like, has that started again? I was like, what?
Yeah, start this Wednesday.
Mm. Awesome.
I really want to watch that, because I can't watch Charlie Brooker enough. The dude is amazing.
He is.
And
David Mitchell.
Yeah.
David Mitchell.
And I can just stare at Lauren Laverne all day. That's fine.
Okay.
I don't care about Jimmy Carr. He's funny, but not in this.
I don't know. I think he compliments it, so...
Anyway, do you want to move on to Walking Dead?
Do that thing we did last week? Okay.
Yeah, so Walking Dead starts on Sunday.
You saved?
Okay, so, and aside from what we've already watched, we're going to be talking about the Walking Dead, which starts up again on Sunday, and everyone is super excited.
Yes!
Is it Sunday?
Yeah, Sunday.
I thought it was the... Oh, so it's the 12th it starts up. Okay.
Yep.
That's cool.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
So, going back to what... the thing is, I can't comment, because I'll be like, I'm commenting based on my experience from the comic now.
Well, ignore the comic and we'll talk about what we think will happen. Like, in this episode at least, given the events of the last episode.
Okay, what, so immediately after?
I see this episode picking straight up from the last one, because...
Yeah, definitely. It'll be right at the end. So it will literally be like, the zombies have just died. They're all dead.
And the girl's dead.
Yeah, the girl's dead, but she was already dead. She was a zombie. So,
I think we're going to have Mr. Farmer Guy. Yeah, he's going to comment straight away.
He's going to flip out.
I think they're going to bring up the whole point of did they know she was in there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I reckon he did know. And I think if they think he did know,
Robot.
Hello? Hello? Start again. Oh, no. Still a robot. Try again.
Hello?
Hello? Hello? Do you want to not be a robot?
No.
No, you don't? Okay.
Beep boop. I'm Megatron. Beep boop.
We're on a... Hello? Are you there?
Yeah.
No.
No. During this robotic interlude, have you seen the trailer for The Bourne Legacy?
No, I don't care. I've watched one of the Bourne films that wasn't impressed.
I like them.
Not my kind of thing.
I like the Bourne film.
Thanks, robot.
Oh, have you seen the newer trailer for The Amazing Spider-Man?
Yes, I have.
Looks awesome.
I have issue.
Why?
Because they're implying that his parents were involved in Oscorp. Which rewrites his origin story.
But isn't...
Isn't Spider-Man...
Isn't the Amazing Spider-Man a different universe than normal?
His origin story is basically the same.
Oh, okay. Because from... I was just assuming that it was a slightly different start, and that's what the start was for Amazing Spider-Man.
It's nice to see them using the Lizard, because the Lizard was like a major player in like the start of Spider-Man. And the other Spider-Man series never touched on it. Dodgecons was there, but I think did he still have both arms? I think he still had both arms. They did the Lizard thing wrong. They just didn't do it, was the point. So I'm glad that they're doing this. I like the kind of grittier tone that they're taking to it, less campy.
Yeah, I like the casting as well.
From what I've seen, I'm a bit dubious about the guy playing Peter Parker. Like, he sounds fine and he's good when he's in the Spider-Man costume, but when he's out of it, he looks wrong to me. But it might just be me.
I think it looks cool.
Zombies now.
And Trent, are you being a robot, Matt?
Well,
no, I know why. I can tell you when I was being a robot because my little, you know, the tick in the top left hand corner. It turns into a grey refreshing sign. Oh, yeah.
Okay, well you're back. Well.
I'm back now. It's not
doing. Do you want to carry on with?
Anyway, what I was saying was, I muted my mic. sorry. Sophia, that's the name of the girl, wasn't it?
Yeah.
If it transpires that Herschel was suspected,
robots.
Oh.
Do you want to restart Skype?
It's got nothing to do with Skype. It'll be my internet.
Well, do you want to fuck off and come back?
We won't make a difference.
Might do.
That's been fine. It's been fine up to this point. All I can suggest. Yeah, okay. Fuck hell. Beep boop.
I'm back. Hi.
Hello. You sound fine now.
Hi.
Right. Sophia. Yeah. If it transpires that Herschel did know or suspect that she was in there, Daryl's going to go mental.
Yeah.
The others will go mental, but Daryl will go mental more, so he's a little bit unstable. He's calmed down a bit recently, but he's got this connection to Sophia's mum.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's been off hunting for her, looking for her all the time.
And he nearly died looking for her.
Yeah, Shane will probably go off the hook as per as well.
Well, he is off the hook constantly, so yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's already, that's why I think they're taking it in a different direction, like... I didn't, as far as I can remember, I don't remember in the comic Shane being so fucking mental. You know?
Yeah.
But I think, and this is, I thought this before I'd read about anything, so this has got nothing to do with what I've read about. I think they will be leaving the farm. I think the second half of this series, they'll be either back on the road or going to a new location.
I think that needs
to happen. I'm almost predicting like a group split, because I think there's a lot of ramping up to, like, whose side do you take in this issue? Like, Shane and the we're doing this all wrong, or what's the main guy?
Rick.
Oh, like, Rick's steady, this needs, like, we need to do this carefully, methodically, or Shane's like, we just need to try and survive the best we can.
I think if that happens, Andrea will go with Shane. But I think the majority will stay with Rick, unless, of course, there's some sort of situation where going with going with Shane would make more sense. But I think personally, Rick's like the stable one. Yeah. Like, for example, the old guy, what's his name, is definitely not going to go with Shane.
Dale.
The only the thing is, if Andrea goes with Shane, Dale might be like dead worried, you know.
So I'll come with I think it all depends how the after the, like, literally where it picks up. It all depends how this plays out. Like, if we have Shane and certain people like wanting to shoot Herschel and those lot, like, because out of anger and that, and then you have the logical people with cooler heads saying no, stop, that could be a very quick we're divided kind of situation.
I think even if, like, Herschel denies the fact that he didn't know he was there, because there is an argument that he wouldn't have known, because in the last episode they said that the guy, the one that died, the big fat dude,
He took care of it,
so he would have been the only one who knew who was in the barn, and he went before anyone else got there. Before he found out about the girl, he was dead. And if it splits, the way I'm seeing it splitting is you'll have Andrea, Shane, the black dude, who did nothing in the last half of the other series.
He's either died or get parents progressed.
Yeah, and the other one will be Rick, his wife, the kid. Dale, and it's the Asian kid who I can't see, because I think he'll want to stay with Herschel's daughter. So that there may even be like a three-way split. Like, everyone may insist on leaving the farm, and she won't want to go, and he won't want to go because of her.
I would agree, but then I think that it won't last. I think they'll end up back together again.
Yeah.
If that happens, if, like, I reckon, like, coming together.
Well, so robotic.
You've been with a tornado there as well. It's like,
they've got a lot of ground to cover in the first episode, because they left themselves with a lot of questions. Like, did they know the girl was there? There's some issues that people brought up with the timeline of the girl being there at all.
Yeah, that definitely needs to be answered straight away. Did Herschel know? And the first few minutes will answer a lot of questions.
They're gonna have to come straight out of the gate with all the answers.
Yeah, at least most of them, because they have a very good way of leaving a couple of questions still unanswered and us anticipating them being answered, but it's not too surprised that they never get answered for a long time kind of thing. So, like,
Karen.
Certainly, all of these things will be answered by the end of the season, I would hope. But a couple of things might be left until just before the end. I don't know.
I want to.
Am I
Karen,
called to talk?
You can try.
Not really.
Maybe not. I think the one question they need to ask is that when Daryl went looking for Sophia, and he found that little thing where, like, someone living.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that might play a part, because she's obviously was there, if that makes sense. So if one of them has brought her in whilst they were there, knowing that Sophia was, I suppose, yeah. We didn't do it before. I think when we spoke about it, we were saying when Glenn went into the barn and saw them, didn't we try and look to see if we could see
her? She couldn't see her.
It wasn't confirmed, that's a bluff, really, I think. So,
I wonder if some of the thing is, we've kind of found these questions.
Yeah.
Have they acknowledged that those questions...
Robot.
Try again.
Whatever. I'm just
not confident. No, I won't interrupt you. It's just that it's really hard when all... It's that...
Yeah, but there's no point in me. Yeah, so no, keep going, because we're never going to finish. Otherwise, you'll always contribute.
Yeah, I think whatever they do, we'll be happy with, because like, they've not done anything much wrong so far, have they, the writers? And
well, the new writers.
Yeah, well, you've still got the same kind of direction from the like directory person. He's the guy who like organised it, isn't he?
Yeah. I think on the point Matt was trying to make was the house that they found where Sophie had evidently been. Like, they need to talk about the timeline of that. When was she there? Like, in comparison to when they got to the house, did she get there afterwards? How long was she lost in the woods? Because she was lost in the woods all of this after they got to the house. That means someone, they definitely knew she was in the house. If that isn't the case, if it was the guy that usually wrangled the zombies in, then when was she there and how did she get there so quickly?
Mm. I think it'd be kind of cool if, either for part of the episode or maybe the whole episode. I don't think the whole thing. Like, you had a section that was
Sophia's from her,
her perspective, like going back, how she actually got from A to B, and that would be an interesting way to answer all of these questions without saying here's the answers.
I wonder if they do it with on the off chance that it's more lies and Herschel says he doesn't know.
Yeah.
Do for like, I don't know, 15 minutes of the episode, her becoming a zombie, her like this person. Yeah. So let's say her. It could be Otis, and Otis could be Otis is dead, and they don't know because Otis took care of it, and that's what Herschel might just say.
Yeah, he might say that either way. So I mean,
but then you say that as well. That girl's been feeding them chickens, so she goes in there and sees them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she would have seen that there was a young one at least, not necessarily that it was a young girl. But
the other argument is people saying, what if they genuinely didn't know and she crawled into the barn?
It's a possibility, but I don't think so, because like,
I think she would have, I don't think, get in and not get out again.
Mm.
Yeah, because I think they've pretty much said that they can't climb. They've shown that they can't climb, really, haven't they?
Yeah.
So
no, I mean, like, if she crawled into the barn, like if the Sophia, while she was still alive, not zombified, got to the barn at night.
Oh, yeah, and then got bitten at night, in there. But she would have been eaten, so.
Yeah, that's, I think, it's the issue. Like, she would, there'd be nothing left of her.
Yeah.
The only issue I have is I think they need to make the characters a little bit, not the characters, they need to stop making the characters do stupid ass shit. Because I remember being irritated last episode with, like, you know, when they were searching the house, Shane and the woman, I keep forgetting her name, blonde one. Andrea went out to look for her in the houses, and she was learning to shoot. Like, they were just wasting bullets and making far too much noise in that suburb. And I was like, you wouldn't do that. Like, they would. They're making the characters excessively reckless, and they're doing stupid things. Like, they need.
No, but Shane is excessively reckless. I think it's almost like character development. Shane is having an influence on
her. Maybe.
Or it's bringing out her traits anyway. Like, another thing I'd like to see is a bring back or looking back at the point of the herding zombies. I think that was really cool. When they're on the road and that herd came past, and like they're searching for food as a group. I think that'd be really cool to see again, like, wherever they do end up going, either to another city or location, or just driving for a long time.
Just going back to the Sophia thing, I was just, like, no matter what Herschel, how it transpires at the farm with Herschel and the group trying to figure out what happened, I think what'd be cool is if intermittently they showed you sections of her story, so that, like, it started with a bit of her story, like, as soon as they split it off, then they go to the farm and some arguing, and then goes back to, like, just put in 5-minute segments, so As you're finding out what Herschel says happened, so you're finding out everything from their point of view, then you can see what's actually happening bit by bit, so that it kind of leaves you constantly asking questions about what's going on.
I think that's a better way than a full chunk of flashback, and I think it's more like their style of doing it.
Yeah, because they've done that before in the episode with where you found out that Shane shot Otis, because you had him explaining stuff, what was going on, other stuff going on, and then cutting to his
thing. The problem is with that, perspective. They were saying, like, oh, I'm thinking about this. The problem is with Sophia, unless someone has had that experience, they're only just showing you it. They show Sophia's experience. That's just for the viewer. That's not for them to say someone's going to find out about this in the future because someone knows about it, you know?
Yeah, well, that is something that would need to be addressed. Like, if
you die, if her or someone knew about her, then later they can say, well, they knew she was.
You'd either have to have the truth being told, and they actually know that what happened to her completely, and then some perspective from her, or you would have dramatic irony of us knowing the truth when the characters are being told bullshit.
That's the way I think they'll go for it. I think they'll use that. I think you'll have Herschel and his lot lying about what happened. They'll know something, and then we'll find out. Like, not to the point where that we know it and the character will know it later, but where we'll know it and the character will never know.
Mm.
Just that kind of, like, staining the rest of the story with, we know what happened, they don't.
Yeah, like, we know the true kind of personalities, like, of Herschel and those kind of people. Yeah, I mean, like, going back to Glenn with, what's Herschel's daughter,
I can't remember her name. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that works quite well. Is it Beth?
Maybe. Just call her Beth.
Yeah, because there's Beth and Maggie Green.
Oh, it's Maggie.
Herschel Green. Maggie. Yeah, there you go. I think they complement each other now. I think Glenn needs.
I think whatever happens, they will stay together. So either.
Yep.
Either everyone will stay together, like Rick will calm Shane and everyone down, and they'll stay together, and then she'll go with them. Or there'll be this drastic split where Shane will go off with Andrea and the black dude, and maybe Sophia's mother. Oh, well, Daryl. Fuck, where would Daryl go? I see Daryl being pissed off enough to go with Shane, and then either
Sophia's mum going with her.
Because of their connection.
Because he protected her.
And then you'll have, that leaves Rick's wife, Dale, and either they'll go off by themselves, or the I'm so bad to know. It's Maggie and Asian kid. Maggie and Glenn going with them. Like, I think she may leave the farm with Rick.
I would also agree.
Maybe.
Right. Yeah. We'll have all these questions answered next week when everyone's watched.
Well, hopefully.
Yeah. Well, we'll have some answers answered, and we'll have a lot more to talk about.
More questions.
Less speculation. Yeah. More fact.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Let's move.
I don't know if anyone else.
No, okay. Yeah, go on. I was gonna say, let's move on. So.
I was gonna say, I don't know if you've noticed. I know what you're gonna move on. Have you seen the other things we've had?
No.
Your shout out. I'll tell you what they are. Then.
Well. moving on from entertainment to a surprisingly full read email section for the first time in a while. The first two are comments from Jason Holland and Real Style on our art debate last week. And Jason Holland said, I like the Britannica's definition of art as the use of skill and imagination in the creation of aesthetic objects, environments, or experiences that can be shared with others, which makes games not only art, but an art form.
Yep, that's an interesting, supportive definition.
Dan?
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, exactly. Can we not get into it again? I don't want to be hating each other.
I want that's been anyway. And Real Style said, anything made creatively for entertainment is art. Its sole purpose is to evoke emotion. And then another tweet said, I mean, main purpose. Obviously, games like Zynga and similar are made to make money.
I had a good discussion about this after the debate with Naz. She's an artist, and we're basically talking about differences of opinion of art, and like how each person has a preference and a kind of their own definition of what art is to them. And as a debate was saying, art is art if people agree it's art and such. But like, what people appreciate as art is very different and very unique. I mean, Naz hates fine art people, for example, and doesn't consider a lot of what they do to be real art.
So you won't get on with Sam then. Sam's degree isn't fine art.
In the sense that people who are up themselves about art as well, and like really like snobby about art. And then the things, like, they can abstract things, fine, yeah. Lots of fine art, that's good, yeah. But like people who are really snobby about definitions of art and like, this is art, that isn't art, and like...
Like you?
No, because I was reiterating many times that it's my preference. Okay. Yeah. So yeah.
No, I'm not going to get into it. You made a point. I don't want to touch it.
You can touch it after the podcast.
Okay. And Matt has some questions from Twitter.
Right. So Jason Holland said, I don't know. I'm not going to be able to answer this, but if you were a Mortal Kombat character, as yourselves, what finishing move would match your personality? I'm not really into Mortal Kombat, so I've never played those games. Ergo, would not know anymore.
It would be me dousing them in petrol, then lighting a cigarette and just throwing out the cigarette at them and then just bursting into flames.
I'd
rugby tackle them to death.
Yeah, rugby tackle them so their head falls off. Yeah, there we go. Dan?
I'll do a jump with a spin.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a Drawn Together reference, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. We have another one from Styly.
Yeah,
they're making a video game of the Battleships movie, which is based on the board game.
Oh, God.
What board game would you like to see made into a film and then a video game?
Risk.
That's already a Risk.
Risk as a film would be cool.
It's already a Risk video game.
Well, yeah, but...
Monopoly.
That's already a video game.
Uno. No, like, specifically with the thought of making it into a film.
Like, a really gritty version of Monopoly.
It would just be like about the economy and stuff. Like,
yeah,
you're now bankrupt. I'm taking all your money.
Yeah, like,
I'm
going to a really gritty, depressing Monopoly film.
I'm gonna land on Go. Whoa.
Walking past Go and giving $200.
Yeah. Well, Go could be like a metaphor for a paycheck each month.
Yeah, or like getting paid by the state or something. Yeah. Any other board games? Don't know.
Snakes and Ladders.
Snakes and Ladders. Okay. That the robotic what there said Snakes and Ladders.
Oh, as a film. That would just be Snakes on a Plane, but with some ladders sure.
Sequel to Snakes on a Plane.
It could be about like you trying to get through life successfully and then like getting like random things that boost how you're doing in life, and then pitfalls, which are the snakes, like something goes terribly wrong, like you get taxed to shit or you get
snake.
Rolled my dice and now I am
you're doing really, really well and then getting bitten by snakes. And then ending up going back to the bottom again. Shit, another snake. How unlucky you can get.
I hate when snakes bite me and I have to go back to preschool.
Mousetrap.
Mousetrap, yeah. About the life of a mouse.
That'd be fucking that'd be weird.
But, no.
Isn't that Stuart Little?
Yeah.
There was that film, like Mouse Hunt, wasn't there?
That was starring Lee Evans.
Yeah, I liked that film.
I liked it because it's Lee Evans.
Yeah, and a mouse.
And a mouse, Dan.
And they made things out of cheese at the end. They had like balls of cheese that they were like knitting things into.
Matt, what's Scott's question?
I don't really know. It says, would you be trying to
make I'm gonna say maybe.
But then who was phoned
with Lego ones?
I don't know, Dave. Who was phoned? Come again, Gamage?
Matt? Matt, do you want to type this question?
I can hear him typing. Even the typing is glitched. It's like...
But then who was phone? Was phone? Yes. The question from Scott.
I have the question.
That Matt typed is, would you be interested in Pokemon Lego? Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't really play with that kind of thing anymore, but I think it'd be a cool idea.
Set up a little.
I don't know if...
And then make a little Lego Pokemon and make them fight, and then just like say, ha, you lose, and throw them at a wall.
I think it's a bit late now, though, in the terms of like Pokemon fandom. If they were going to do it, they should have done it straight at when it was massive, just came out.
Matt says, not sure if it means in a video game conquest, by which he means context.
Yeah, I changed the word. Yeah. Shut up.
So, Lego Lego Pokemon, like in the same vein as Lego Harry Potter.
Yeah, that might work.
It'd have to be more open.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Dave, you can put that idea forward.
Yeah, I'll go and tell them.
Tell them. You know, I'm just testing your games and stuff, but make Lego Pokemon.
You should really make a Lego Pokemon game. You would sell million copies. Millions.
I'd buy millions.
Millions.
Or even just any kind of Pokemon game on an Xbox would be cool.
Yeah.
With high res rather than just GameCube.
I don't get why no one's done this yet.
Yeah.
Seems good.
I need to urinate.
Anyway.
Is that one?
Thank you for your questions, Jason Holland and Real Sally and Scott Mazza. For the rest of you, why don't you send us questions? You can, because you're disappointing us.
I feel like Real Styly and Jason Holland are propping up the team at the minute.
Yeah, they're really
the listener base. Unless they are just the listener base.
Looking at this week's downloads, no, they're not.
Okay.
Oh.
So
okay.
Yeah, the rest
unless of they're just downloading it many times.
Unless they're downloading it loads.
Yeah. The rest of you should send questions into bandcast@hotmail.com. Or by sending us questions to @TheBantercast on Twitter. You can also talk to us individually on Twitter. I am on Twitter @TGF_David.
I am @Lord_Aten.
I'm @Gamma89.
I'm surprised that came through human.
thank you.
I am
You can remember to also go to thegamefanatics.com to check out the latest news and reviews in video games, as well as to read things that I write frequently. And head to indiegamemag.com to read reviews I write of weird little indie games. Which this week will be Lara.
And if you're interested in seeing like deer ride cars, then you can go to my house and look in my window. No wait, Chuck Tester.
It's been a while since you've done one of those, Dan. Thank you. Ending with Chuck Tester all the time. This has been episode 40 of Xbox Podcast, and you've been weird. Thank you.
And you've been cool for listening.
Bye.
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 Now you go human. Like.